This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is Larry Haas. He's the former communications director for then-Vice President Al Gore. He also served as the spokesman for the Clinton White House Office of Management and Budget. We want to get Larry's thoughts on a couple of major economic issues in the headlines this week. First of all, should any or some or all of the Bush tax cuts be allowed to expire at the end of this year, and what impact would that have on the economy? And also, who was right between Republicans and Democrats when it came to the debate over extending unemployment benefits? And Larry, it's always great to have you with us.
Nice to be here, Greg.
Let's start with the debate that, at least for now, is over until the end of November, and that's the extension of unemployment benefits. The Republicans said that they wanted to extend them, but they wanted them to not add to the deficit, this $34 billion price tag. They wanted the money taken out of the stimulus or somewhere else to do that. The Democrats said, no, it's an emergency, and Republicans certainly haven't gone by that promise in previous years. Who was right here?
Well, it's very hard to take the Republican argument seriously, considering what has happened on their watch since 2001, when they inherited a record budget surplus and have squandered it in a variety of ways: tax cuts, two wars that haven't been paid for, an addition of prescription drug coverage for Medicare that was not paid for. And obviously, although not singularly their fault, a weak economy in 2001, and then obviously the economic crisis that we've had in recent years. The focus on deficits in the short term is misguided. The economy is weak. The deficit that we should worry about is the one that's coming over the long term, which is going to get worse and worse unless we do something about it. The economy could use more stimulus now. Perfectly reasonable to extend unemployment benefits without paying for them. I think the Democrats have the better of this argument.
What would have been the downside of dipping into the stimulus?
Well, there wouldn't have been any dramatic downside in it. We're talking about really not that much money in a $14 trillion economy. I think my argument would be, however, that it was really a quite silly argument to have about whether or not to pay for these additional unemployment insurance benefits when the human need was so great and when we have always provided extensions of unemployment insurance in the modern era when unemployment was anywhere near the record, the level that it's at now, and it's been hovering near 10% for the better part of a year or two. And the idea that somehow we should worry about the short-term deficit when the real deficit problem is coming after the economy recovers, I just think is misguided.
Well, let's move on to the issue of the tax cuts now. And you've written about this. We've talked about this extensively. You believe taxes do need to go up, certainly for the wealthiest of Americans and maybe the middle class as well. Before we talk about what you hope to see happen, what do you think will happen? How far do you think the administration is going to go in letting all these tax cuts expire?
The administration, I must say, does not have a terribly good record when it comes to digging in on things that they believe. I know their policy is that tax cuts affecting those making more than $250,000 a year should be allowed to expire on time at the end of this year as under current law, and that tax cuts for everyone else should continue. They restated that policy yesterday. Obviously, they have not only the Republicans to contend with, but some Democrats that are falling off the reservation and believe that the tax cuts at the top should be extended for some period of time. I have to believe that if they do not have the votes, if more Democrats continue to fall off the reservation, that they will cut a deal and allow tax cuts for everybody to be extended for some period of time, a year, maybe 2 years. That's not what I would recommend they do, but that's where we may be headed.
Why do you believe that would be a wrong approach?
Because tax cuts for people making over $250,000 are not going to further stimulate the economy. People making that much money are not going to be spending that money for the most part. They're going to be saving that money because, frankly, they don't need the additional disposable income. If we care about further stimulating the economy, one thing that we can do is to allow those tax cuts to expire, to take the money, and then to plow it back into the economy in the form of, for instance, additional tax cuts for people at the bottom, because people at the bottom do not have enough money to save. They spend almost every dollar that they have, and you can be almost guaranteed that if we put additional dollars in their pockets, they are going to go out and buy the additional necessities that they need. If we're going to worry about the economy, one of the least recommended things to do would be to provide additional tax cuts for people at the top who are probably going to save the money.
Larry, I'm sure you've heard the argument for preserving the tax cuts for the top bracket, but I'll lay it out just so our listeners can have you respond to it as they hear it freshly here. And that's, of course, that while rich people might not get a lot of sympathy during a difficult economic stretch, they are likely to be the ones that create the jobs. And many people are specifically concerned about small businesses that file in that top tax bracket. How concerned should we be about that?
Not very, because the percentage of the income taxes for people making more than $250,000 that actually apply to small business is really quite small. We are not talking, for the most part, about small businesses here. We're talking about individuals who are going to save the money. Now, with regard to saving and investing, yes, it is the case that people at the top will invest, but investing for jobs down the road, it will not do much, if anything, for the immediacy of creating jobs. There are better ways of doing it. If we really care about retaining or creating jobs, we will put money in the hands of individuals who will spend it, thus saving jobs in local stores and local supermarkets, or we will provide it to state governments so that they do not have to lay off state employees.
As far as the deficit goes, what impact will this make? Republicans point out that deficits actually shrunk in the few years leading up to the financial collapse in 2008, even though the tax cuts were in place. What do you see happening on the deficit front if your plan were to be adopted?
Look, we're in a much different world right now. What's driving our deficits in the future has almost nothing to do with what drove deficits or surpluses in the past. Number one thing that's driving deficits are health care costs. We will have to return to the issue of health care, but the comparison between deficits before and deficits in the future is really misplaced. In 2008, before the financial collapse, we had a budget deficit of $459 billion. We are expecting, even after the economy recovers, budget deficits that over the next decade are going to average about $1 trillion per year, and after that are going to go much, much higher. Almost entirely driven by a combination of health care and, frankly, an inadequacy of revenue. It has very little to do with what came before, other than the fact that we have been on a tax-cutting orgy over the last 10 years. And, frankly, along with returning to the issue of health care, we're going to have to get very serious about how much people are willing to pay for the government services that they want. And that's a question that goes beyond just tax cuts for people at the upper income level. That goes to the question of tax burdens, frankly, for all Americans.
Larry, thank you very much for your time today, as always.
Nice to be here, Greg.
Thank you. Larry Haas is the former spokesman for the Clinton White House Office of Management and Budget, also served as communications director for then-Vice President Al Gore. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.